That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The Leafs get 1 point in a home-and-home with the Wings.
Drop back for Erickson. Up on the left wing boards it goes. Sheahan into the slot for Zetterberg. Scores!
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:02, Brady and Walker, good morning. The Toronto Maple Leafs home record. 4 games, 1-3, and 3 absolute duds. Greg, they get 1 point out of this weekend in Detroit. Now, there's stuff to like about that second game, but what about the Leafs at the ACC right now?
It's kind of it's one of those scenarios where you think it's small sample size, and you look at their home record last year. They were really good at home. 41 games, they were 24-16-1. Where they struggled was away. They won 14 of 41 games away. They had good wins last year at home, right? We've listed them up for Anaheim, Minnesota. Wax the Blackhawks on a Saturday when no one expected them in Pittsburgh. A couple times. But there's something, early on, have they gotten progressively worse each game? Kind of, yeah, with the exception of Colorado. And I don't think they played great, and we're not sure how good Colorado is. Colorado's won 1 of 6 games out of the gate so far.
They beat Colorado the way that you beat Colorado. You get a ton of chances, and you score some goals.
Right, and they did win that in overtime. Our number's 416-870-0590, star 590. 888-666-0590. Your observations of the Leafs this weekend. It's very clear that Saturday was a better night of hockey. No question. But you can I think it's still okay to be a little upset and disappointed. 416-870-0590. You can text us 590-590 to say, to rebound and come back from a 4-1 defeat, you'd like to see more. They played better. Did they play better enough, if you will? And did they create enough? You see Jonas Gustafsson playing goal, and you think, this is a situation we can take advantage of. And they didn't. And obviously, no points whatsoever in 2 games. And that'll happen for a lot of teams' first lines. But the Bozak, Kessel, JVR line, we're not going to pull this stuff and overreact, okay? Because people did that after 2 games. You didn't. I didn't. And we just said, it is what it is sometimes. It's a game they could have won against Montreal, and they weren't very good against Pittsburgh. But 5 points in 6 games is about where most people thought they would be. If the next 2 games are problematic on the island tomorrow and in Ottawa Wednesday, then you might have a conversation point to where it's maybe we even overrated them as a bubble playoff team.
Not to bring this all back to, you know, the guys that throw their jerseys on the ice, because I know that the normal Leaf fan would say this isn't representative of us, but I just find it so ridiculous. Yes, they start the year 0-2, and the jersey comes on the ice, and there's no points for the big guns. Guess what happens the next 2 games? The big guys score, and then they're 2-2. And we saw a couple losses over the weekend, and then the jersey comes back on the ice. This is what they are. At the end of the day, not to be all anticlimactic about it, Greg, but nobody had this team finishing last. And nobody has him finishing first. Most people have them competing for eighth. And guess what that is at the end of the day? It's about a 500 team, and they've played some pretty good clubs in here.
Here's the one problem.
They're just okay.
Okay, there is a problem with that. And I don't disagree with that logic. But here's the problem that some folks will have is everyone looks and says, well, their last 12 games were crappy, but the previous 68 or 70 we liked. And we loved them out of the gate when they were 10-4 and they had 20 points in 14 games. And they beat some good teams. If you don't even have that, Andrew, out of the gate, then you say, with changes and new assistant coaches and new players and character guys coming back, Leo Komarov, et cetera, why are you instantaneously worse? Why do you look more like the team in March and April with the goaltenders healthy again than you did in October and November of last year? Where are the step-up wins, and are they coming?
But I don't think... They maybe we'll see here. They get the Islanders. They get the Senators, right? I mean, New York's got off to a great start, but I don't put them up with the Pittsburghs and the Tampas of the world yet. But I don't think this team is, you're not watching these games like the game on Saturday in Detroit and saying, oh my God, they're getting outshot 50-15. This is a nightmare. How are they even remotely in this game? I think the conversation has shifted a little bit. I think they've played a little better. they're just regressing towards more of what they are. Whereas last year, as we know, maybe a lot like Colorado, it was wonky. They were winning games that they deserved to lose, and then losing games where even if they played well, they would lose.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, don't forget all of December last year. I'm counting two regulation wins, and we got in on that a little bit and talked about, hey, points are points, and there is an element of logic to that. But two regulation wins in like 19 games, and yet you're still accumulating points. You're still in a playoff spot. You're still ahead of teams like the Rangers and the Flyers and the Red Wings, teams that eventually passed you, because we all know what an unprecedented collapse it was. 416-870-0590-*590. Quick on the injury front. And we'll get to the phone calls. Brandon Cozen injured perhaps 4 to 6 weeks. I know you mentioned that on Twitter on the weekend, Fan590 Walker, BradyFan590. Is there a obvious correlation to getting Matt Fratton in and still the fourth? This is how it's going to go for the fourth line, whether it's Cozen or whether it's Fratton or whether it's Ashton. Right now in close games, there's very little faith. We had Steve Spot on last week, but there's very little faith. And the coaching
little.
Staff,
yeah.
And maybe Carlisle specifically, in having more than 9 forwards play consistently.
If Coltnor and Fraser McLaren were on this team, and everyone's pretty happy that they're not, they would be playing 2-3 minutes a night, right? We can all agree that Peter Holland and Matt Fratton and Brandon Cozen, they've all proven to varying degrees that they can all play a little bit. They can all play at this level, but they haven't been. Now, I think we kind of have to wait and see. Like Mike Babcock in Detroit, he gets everybody to 10 minutes. Everybody. So it seems. I think we kind of got to wait and see for when the Leafs are down 5-1 or up 5-1 to see if there is still a hesitation to play that fourth line. Because, I mean, how big would a goal from the fourth line had it been this weekend? But it's tough when they never get on the ice. I still don't know what to think about what Randy Carlyle thinks, right? Is this a stubborn thing? Is he trying to stick it to management? Because guess what, Randy? If your fourth line can play a little bit and they give you 8-9 minutes, they score a goal, guess what it makes you? A better coach. I don't understand the hesitation here.
You didn't like Kadri's weekend.
I didn't. Well, we talked about Henrik Zetterberg a little bit on Friday heading into the weekend.
Yeah, let's burn those comments.
Well, listen, I don't know what we expect of Kadri at this point, but I know there's this big community of people that like to rip on Bozak and just think Kadri should be elevated to the top line center and he's one of the best players in this hockey team. Well, you still get a chance to prove yourself in various parts of the game. And Nazem Kadri got just blown out of the water this weekend by a, quote, old, slow, broken down Henrik Zetterberg.
Yeah. Zetterberg.
Kadri got eaten up and spit out.
Apparently Zetterberg was sick Wednesday playing the Bruins, like sick as a dog, as in shouldn't almost have been playing, got himself better and was better on Friday. People aren't going to confuse him with a speed demon. But my biggest problem, Andrew, I think overall is being worried about the Leafs. We've had this conversation. They don't have a center that you love against another team's number one center when you play
games like that, or you got in a playoff series
with a Boston or a Pittsburgh. You wouldn't like anybody against those team centers.
416-870-0590. We'll get Jeff in Toronto to weigh in on this. Jeff, welcome to Brady and Walker.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
It's the coaching staff, obviously. If they're bringing in new assistant coaches and they sacked Carlisle's guys last year, Carlisle's just got to go. They're not playing for him. You know, you bring in Brendan Shanahan, and with Nonis bringing in new guys and a new philosophy with these new guys that they're bringing in, they're not playing the fourth line guys. They obviously are just not playing for the coach. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, Greg, I go back and forth on this. We were both in the category that we wouldn't have brought Randy Carlyle back. We don't love all the things he does, but at the same time, you know, you can nitpick here and there. With a different coach, is the record different than 2-3-1? I don't know if it is.
No, but again, the one thing,
they've played poorly and lost. They've played well and won. I mean,
yeah, and I don't like the idea. I never liked the idea of them firing the assistants. I thought that's honestly, to talk about your lipstick on a pig. That's got nothing to do with anything. It really doesn't. And I mean an actual pig in this case. Dave in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan at 8:11. I'm Brady and Walker. Go ahead, Dave.
Guys. Good morning.
Morning.
My thought on the second game was that they played obviously a little bit better, and Babcock, boy, he can sure snuff the life out of a hockey game better than any coach on the planet. Boy, that was hard to watch. I think that they need to be a little more physical right through the lineup.
Which players?
All of them. Like, yeah. Here's the thing that bugs me quite a bit, and it's going to start to become an issue. Tyler Seguin, with the 4 points, is going to run away with the Art Ross in the heart. He is by far the best player on the planet. And if we don't get more from Phil Kessel, that trade is going to start to look and smell like a Cam Neely trade. And I know Boston did the same. I've never, in any sport, have you seen two teams trade away the best player on the planet? Boston's going to hurt and feel that too. But both Boston and Toronto are going to feel that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Boston won their cup. Tyler Seguin didn't make much of a contribution to winning, but I think it's almost universal. The Bruins trade of Seguin is worse than the Leafs trade of two firsts and a second for Kessel.
You know what?
That's what it looks like.
It's a good
looks
point.
Like a great trade.
Neither's a great trade, but you might be right. Toronto might have done better in that deal than Boston did in the Dallas deal.
Yeah.
8-13, Brady and Walker. It's an interesting debate. I don't know if Tyler Seguin's the best player head and shoulders in the planet. There's a guy in Pittsburgh that has something to say about that, but let's do worst tweet of the day.
Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing.
Your third and final clue for Toronto-Boston tickets this weekend is coming up momentarily. But first, you saw this. It's terrific, as usual.
Last night, Jen Sturger.
I remember her.
Everybody does, yeah. At Jennifer Sturger. Hey, Payton, that congratulatory text from he who shall not be named,
Brett Favre,
is an MMS. Probably best to delete that one. Now, it's 4,000 people retweeted Jen Sturger's tweet. And you might remember Jen Sturger, who came to fame.
Oh, she's a victim. Huge victim.
She was on Fox. She made fun of her text from Favre with the record to Manning's record. Yeah, exactly. Apparently, there was a dong shot from Brett Favre to Jen Sturger. And she showed all her girlfriends. And apparently, the girlfriends had a giggle about it with Jen Sturger. And then she was shocked and crushed and devastated and in tears when it went viral. Because who'd have thought that would happen if you share pictures of a penis, of a famous guy's penis with everybody?
With Crocs.
It's honestly, because what ticked me off the most and this brought it all back from 2010 is I've known victims of harassment and sexual assault and they're victims. You're not. You're a glory-seeking has-been trying to remind people last night why we remember you. You're no. If you send it to your girlfriends, this picture of this male member, and you send it out en masse, yes, it's going to show up online. You aren't a victim. If you're giggling about it and typing LOL and happy face next to the thing that's being
strong opinions from Greg Brady this morning on dick pics. 8:15, Brady and Walker. We want to send you to the ACC this weekend.
Hard firm opinions, Walker.
It's
That's
Toronto,
what they are.
And it's the Boston Bruins. Name this player. Here is your third and final clue, courtesy of the great Blue Heron Casino. He is not sent pictures via text, but
can you prove any of what you're saying right now?
He was one of the best players to never win a Stanley Cup in his career, although he did just miss out on one with the New York Rangers. Give us a call right now if you know who it is, 416-870-0590, *590 on your cell phone, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. We'll send you to see Toronto and the Boston Bruins coming up this Saturday.
Jim Fossil in 6 minutes, our NFL insider at 8:22. Breaking news on Ray Rice and broken news yesterday about how much a couple Seattle Seahawks hated each other before they won the Super Bowl. So much for chemistry.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Odell's take. Becker with the throw. It's a first down. We've seen the Rams do this so
What an incredible moment yesterday in Seattle and St. Louis. More on that in a second with Jim Fossil, NFL Insider. It's 8:24, Brady and Walker on Monday. Good morning. Congratulations to Ryan. Ryan in Toronto, he is going to see Toronto and Boston this Saturday.
Oh, good for you!
At the ACC, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino, he knew the name of that guy who played for Toronto. It was Mike Gartner, who indeed did miss out on a Stanley Cup by months as he was traded from the Rangers at that deadline. So this game yesterday, Greg, St. Louis upsets Seattle. And it's not very often that, you know, your Monday morning look back is looking square in the face of a special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was the son, John Fossil, of our next guest.
An amazing, a fake punt return followed by, it'll get almost underplayed today, and it should. A fake punt, 4th and 3 from their own 18 with a 2-point lead against the defending Super Bowl champs at home, maybe facing the wrath of their home fans. It was great. Jim Fossil is our NFL insider every Monday morning. Proud papa this morning, I'm guessing. That was really something yesterday.
Oh, boy. You know, it's amazing. My inbox is full, and I'm overloaded on texts from coaches that calling me and saying, what is he doing? But, you know, he's always had that. And when he was in high school and I was coaching, he said, Dad, you need to run some fake punts. He's always like that. And when he had a decision between about 4 teams to go to,
mm-hmm.
I told him to go with Jeff Fisher because Jeff really prides himself in special teams play, and he'll give you the green light to go. But, I've never seen that in 40 years of coaching, what they did on that punt return. I mean, that's amazing. I lost it. I was following the camera, you know, on TV watching it. Where's the ball? Where's the ball? And the other guy's got it going the other way. And I talked to John twice last night, you know, and he just said, Dad, I mean, the detail, because – the guy that was faking catching that punt, boy, he could not call for a fair catch or the play's dead.
No,
and it just worked.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and you just answered it. But had you ever seen that before? That new wrinkle. Would it ever have occurred you to call a play like that? Were you a conservative head coach, or did you like the flash?
You know, my philosophy was, and I always told John this. I said, you know, as a head coach, decisions I make, I never want to take the game out of the player's hands by making a, you know, if we're playing fine, then I'm not going to take unusual chances. Now, John shares the other thought, and they had to, where they are in the season, who they're playing, all that stuff. But I was probably more on the conservative side. But honestly, I've never seen that play ever.
No.
And he told me they worked on it a lot of times on Thursday. They went after, they kept repeating it. And, I mean, it caught everybody off guard. But I've never seen a play like that in my life.
Jim Fossil, our guest, 8:27 on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Take us on to a sideline. When you are game planning, are fake plays, are sort of even a flea flicker, even a double reverse, coach, are those things you say, we know we're going to implement this at some time today, or is it all situational? Do you say, now we see it, and they are susceptible to this by looking at the film and looking at some of the still photos if we try it? Or do you go into a game knowing you're going to do a play like that?
No, you take it into the game, and then if the opportunity, where the game is, what's going on, then you call it. But if you make up your mind, I'm just going to run this, I don't care what the circumstances, I think it's going to blow up on you more than not. But, you know, the one thing again, I mean, it was a gutsy call, and Jeff gave him the green light. If you think it'll work, run it on the fake punt. Well-designed play. Hecker was a former quarterback, so he can throw the football. And that's not the first big play he's made. He's thrown touchdown passes out of punt formation more than once. And the guy, you know, he was a free agent. He was in the Pro Bowl his second year, you know, the best punter in the league. And so they utilized him. And I think one of the big reasons John wanted him was he was a former quarterback.
Yeah.
He can throw the ball from punt formation.
Jim Fossil, our guest, our NFL insider here on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Peyton Manning breaks Brett Favre's all-time touchdowns record last night. And Jim, it seems that there are two or three occasions every year where we bring up this debate, and it's who is the best quarterback of all time. Do you have Peyton in that spot?
You know, I get asked a lot, on who I think is the best quarterback. That's what I did for my whole career, coach quarterbacks. You know, and I say, you got to break them down by decades. Because Peyton Manning, yeah, he's got to be arguably right in that picture with a couple of guys. But if you go back 20 years, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit favorable to John Elway because I had him in college and pros. He didn't throw the ball that much. I mean, a guy like that had no chance to set those kind of records. None. Zero. Because he didn't throw the ball that much. So you have to break it down in decades. And I would say, if you look at his numbers, I don't look at Super Bowl titles because that has a lot to do with how good a team you played on. In fact, Archie Manning might have been better than Peyton and all the Manning quarterbacks. He might have been, but he played on a lousy team. But if you take it in decades, I would say yes for him in this decade.
Now we're in the spot with Dallas where they showed something yesterday. The Giants gave them a little bit of a push, and they responded and ran away with the game at the end. It's a weird thing to say the Dallas Cowboys might be the best team in the NFL because it's been almost 19 years since we would have considered such a thing. Where do you see this team going, and is the sky the limit for them?
I think it is. You know, and it's, we've talked about that. I mean, it's about the offensive line. They're able to run the football and keep manageable third down situations. And then Tony Romo doesn't feel like he has to carry the team on his back and make dramatic throws when, you know, he's trying to stick the ball in all over the field. He is playing within himself right now. But, you know, something I always believe in, I always told the team, it's not the best team that wins, it's the team that plays the best. And right now, on all phases, they're probably playing more consistent and better than any other team.
Coach, we'll let you get to that inbox. thanks very much for this. And, yeah, like I said, proud to be a dad of somebody so creative in Jod yesterday. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. He loves that stuff. And he's matched with a perfect head coach, Jeff Fisher, who allows him to do it.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay.
There's Jim Fossil joining us on Brady and Walker.
If only you made your dad that proud once in your life.
Hey.
If only your dad could say, you know what? I'm real proud of what
you don't think
Greg
when I
done.
Called him and I said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. We have won the UWO Intramural Broomball Championship
for
1994.
Co-ed. That's
baby.
Why your dad is embarrassed.
Co-ed. When a girl scores, it counts for two goals.
He's also embarrassed that you went to Sarah McLachlan on the weekend and drank pina coladas.
That was Fleetwood Mac, and that was club soda with lime. Now, a couple quick NFL things. So, Ray now Rice. Now, yes, CBS Sports. I'm glad. CBSSports.com. Reports today, Ray Rice could be reinstated by the NFL within a month. I think we're of the same mind in that is anyone really going to pick up Ray Rice after 9-10 weeks of inactivity for late November, early December games? No, but I'm not in the camp where there's enough people that were screaming about this. Some with real outrage, some with fake. What he did was terrible, terrible. But some people, Rice will never ever see an NFL field again. I think he's going to, and I think he will next fall.
And yeah, and this doesn't come from a place for me, Greg, of like this, you know, fake outrage and soapbox. But I look at the situation with Ray Rice, and listen, if this was Andrew Luck, if this was undeniable franchise type of guy, not that we're going to forgive and forget, but yeah, he'd find his spot. I just look at a team-by-team basis. What team out there is so bulletproof that even at the beginning of next year, they're going to be able to justify this Ray Rice thing from a PR standpoint? Hey, here's a pretty decent NFL running back that is arguable replaceable anyway with a Justin Forsett. Look at Baltimore.
Okay.
Baltimore is running a Justin Forsett instead of Ray Rice this year, and they're 5-2 and Forsett's going for 100 yards.
And you're right. We've realized the running back, Adrian Peterson, again, another guy in trouble, has what, won one playoff game in a decade? And how many did LaDainian Tomlinson win? A couple.
And so, maybe it's different with AP, but with Ray Rice, what team out there could justify this PR hit?
The Buffalo Bills have lost C.J. Spiller for the season. And what if Fred Jackson's out 3 to 4 weeks? Are you telling me if Ray Rice...
Never.
You don't even make a phone call? You don't investigate this?
Because
your fans are so playoff-starved, they're going to have morals all of a sudden. To the extent... Not that... Again, what he did was absolutely 1,000% wrong. But they're going to have such morals, they'll be like, don't even call him. I don't know about
people
that.
People do, and you could make
they
the argument...
They cheer for jerseys,
hey,
man.
you can make the argument that there are things worse than this. I don't know. Maybe heinous drug offenses are worse than what Ray Rice did. I don't know. You get outraged at different things. That said, the Bills right now, they're a feel-good story. New ownership. They're staying in Buffalo. The Pegulas are the last people that are going to say, go get that convicted wife beater.
How do we know they're the last people
in the lineup?
How do we know they're the last people?
I would be stunned.
Okay,
you could be right. I would be beyond stunned if a team like the Buffalo Bills did that. 8:34, Brady and Walker. It's a good debate, and I'm sure everybody will have it coming up. At 8:42, the Terrible 10 has a new champion.
Sorry to hear it.
And it's me. I'll tell you all about
it. Really sorry.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Slow start, strong finish. The terrible
the show?
No, well, that too. The Terrible 10 brought to you by Bodog.net. I had a real bad first 6 weeks, but I'm rounding into form. Congratulations to Wade.
You're rounding into something.
Wade, one of our listeners, didn't even pick my picks. He was stuck with them because the first two callers on Friday took you and took Ryan Favreau. But Wade and I went 9-1.
Way to go, Wade.
9-1 this weekend, so $150 and Bills tickets on the way to Wade, courtesy of Bodog.
And the one you got wrong was?
My survivor pick, Chicago, Miami. Like, who goes 9-1 and misses their survivor pick? That's embarrassing.
Should have been the lock of the week. But then again, a lot of fantastic finishes, including Minnesota and Buffalo. Don't forget Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. Used to have those old Oilers-Steelers games, but wait a minute. It's a different team.
Hey, too bad J.J. Watt has no impact on if the Houston Texans win or lose tonight, according to Greg Brady.
You'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger than J.J. Watt.
That's not accurate.
No, it's actually true.
It's not
really
actually
true. The Texans would be better with one than the other. Jeff Blair will have Glenn Healy out of the gate at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, our next Leafs Nation post game comes your way after tomorrow night's game on Long Island against the 5-1 Islanders. It's Leafs Sens on Wednesday from Kanata, Ontario, on Sportsnet 1 as part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Mark Osborne joins Gord Stellick. Apologies for that. On Leafs Nation postgame, 919 NHL games. How's it going? So, I mean, you guys have instantaneous chemistry. You've known each other forever, so that's not an issue.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks for those sentiments.
Yeah.
I think you guys know what it feels like immediately, right? Six games into the season, and oh, man, I got to do what? 75 more.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. And maybe there'll be more than that. Two wins in six so far. I don't know. There isn't that sense of consternation, Mark, and maybe a bad loss to the Islanders will start all the overemphasis on the losses up again. But their effort better Saturday, their execution better Saturday. It's still about finishing, isn't it? I mean, one goal in 125 minutes of hockey was not exactly what the doctor had scripted out before the home-and-home started.
No, you guys are right about that. I mean, I think everybody could come away from the game on Saturday in Detroit and agree that the effort was there after the Friday night affair, where it was a real disappointment. And I think, guys, anytime you play against the Red Wings, even though – you know, again, no Jimmy Howard, no Johan Franzen, no Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, we have come to appreciate and respect that Mike Babcock is the best coach in the National Hockey League. That Red Wing team, ever since, I don't know how many years now, that they've got, you know, complete wonderful structure. They're so good through the neutral zone. You saw how frustrated the Bozak, Kessel, Van Riemsdyk line was. You're going up against Gronwall and Erickson. Those guys hold the blue very well. And I think, you know, the recipe for success when you play a team, maybe when you're shorthanded a little bit, as the Red Wings were, you get into their faces as much as possible. You manage the puck, which the Red Wings did very, very well. And, you know, the Red Wings are, you know, get 3 out of the 4 points on the weekend.
Did we see a good example, Mark, of how far Nazem Kadri still has to come, especially Friday night, because, you know, him going up against Henrik Zetterberg, that was not pretty.
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest frustrations I think a lot of us do have with Nazem Kadri. There's no question that, you know, we marvel some nights with his his talent level, his ability, how at times he can play on the edge. And I know there was a lot of anticipation even going into the Pittsburgh game that one Saturday night, where the exchange on 24/7, and he was looking forward to the challenge with Sidney Crosby. And then lo and behold, we haven't seen much of that. In fact, when he does finish his checks, or he goes in and plays with a bit of an edge, I think he's a far more effective player. And yet you look at the box score on Saturday night, even in a tight hockey game, guys, I mean, Naz comes away, there's not even one hit thrown. And, he wasn't very noticeable. And certainly when your top line is being held in check, where do you count on for some offense? Your second line's got to produce. I mean, the third line with Santarelli, Clarkson, and Leo Komarov are doing, I think, everything that you can ask them to do. And yet, when there's a 0-0 tie, you need your second line, and Naz is that guy that's got to make things happen.
Mark Osborne, our guest. Don't forget Leafs Nation postgame tomorrow night. Leafs and Islanders from Long Island, of course. And then obviously they turn around quickly, head up to Ottawa, nation's capital, for a game Wednesday on Sportsnet 1 as part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. The goaltending stabilized itself over the weekend. Just a goal given up in those 100, or just rather the four on Friday, and then the overtime one, but a perfect regulation period for Jonathan Bernier. Do they come back with Bernier Tuesday? These are easy calls for Randy Carlyle, because you're probably not playing either guy back-to-back now on a Tuesday-Wednesday.
Yeah, I think you come back with Bernier. I think everybody, breathed a sigh of relief in many respects after his performance. I mean, he was really on. The first couple of games of the season, guys, he just did not look comfortable. And I know that he's been quoted as saying, the knee still is not 100%. And I sometimes wonder why he's even bringing that up. I don't know if that's just a built-in excuse for him or whatever, but nonetheless, I mean, he was really sharp, and that was a positive to take out of that tilt in Detroit. You go back with them, the Islanders are a real surprise thus far. Their youthfulness there with Oposo, Johnny Tavares, Franz Nielsen, the addition of those two guys on the back end were great moves by Gar Snow. You got a new goaltender in Halak. They're obviously one of those teams that are, taking the league by surprise, I think, early in this season, much like there was a few teams last year. Colorado did it. So it seems, guys, every year that there's a team that surprises. It looks like Islanders is the one out of the gate early.
It's great stuff there. Mark, we'll be listening tomorrow night, and thanks for coming on and getting up early this morning for us.
Hey, no problem, guys. Have a great day.
There's Mark Osborne joining us on Brady and Walker. Yeah, Leafs Nation postgame after every single Leafs contest, all 82, and they'll look for better things. By the way, Sportsnet West has Lightning Oilers tonight. We might be talking about another Edmontonian debacle. Remember, there was this long run of home games. The games on Sportsnet West, if you haven't signed up for Game Center Live yet, do that, and you get that game for free.
But the Oilers, Greg, are a top 10 possession team. They possess the puck.
No. We almost made it to the end of the
show. They're really
good,
except they have no wins.
Yeah. Well, they're also getting 820 save percentage level goaltending, aren't they? Yep. Aren't they?
Well, if you watch any of those games, you'll see that.
I watch the games.
No goaltender is winning those games with those chances.
I got a message from somebody. You must have tweeted something about the Oilers around the night that that we were out on the Thursday, about like 12:05 a.m. on Friday. Because someone said, how does he get up and do that? I'm like, he just loves his Western Conference hockey. He can't get enough. Is he still up? Someone run? Like, someone basically suggested your account was being run by somebody. I'm like, he'd love that, but it hasn't happened yet. How do you justify that level of snark and sarcasm
Jose Bautista.
An intern running your Twitter account?
Jose Bautista, I would love to have a PR firm run my account. By the way, Jose Bautista is going to join Mike Wilner tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
on the
game one
on the World Series pregame show.
Well, if you can't play in it, go on the radio for the baseball playoffs.
He will no longer be the best player you'll still be the best player not to play in the playoffs. But he will not be the best player never to appear on a playoff pregame show.
Far from it. So that's mentioned again, Lightning Oilers. We'll be talking about that, wrapping that up, getting you set for Leafs Isles tomorrow. Glenn Healy will do the same. He's out of the gate with Jeff Blair at 9 o'clock. Also, just a special note, Don Wakamatsu is going to take time. The former Mariners manager, and people know him from here, 11:40 Don will take a break from his preparation, all the preparation the last 5 days, to get ready for the San Francisco Giants game one in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium tomorrow night. We've got it right here, Sportsnet 590, the Fan and Sportsnet. It's great for Don, isn't it? You'd love to see that guy share in some success with the Royals.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think a lot of people think will probably be managing in the major leagues again at some point in the next 2 years. So, and he had an impact when he was here, and he was well-liked.
When Farrell got the job, he was, I don't want to say he was a second place or third place candidate. They did interview him.
Third place would be stretching it. I mean, they wanted somebody, they wanted somebody outside the organization. They really wanted somebody with a knack for working with pitchers and somebody who could kind of come in and overhaul whatever organizational philosophy existed in pitching.
Yeah, but like Lloyd McClendon got a second chance, did great this year.
Oh, yeah,
Wakamatsu
totally.
Might get the same.
I think this is, this is the way they win games. That's a type of team that relies on their bench coach to do an awful lot of the decision-making. So this is a pretty good advertisement for him, I would think. Mm.
All right, and as we mentioned, Glenn Healy with some talk. Where do you want to go with Glenn? Talk about lack of offense, lack of punch Friday. They've been bad at home for three
lack
out of four
of-
games.
How about lack of performance from their best players?
Specifically the first line? I thought Dion was actually real good.
Second
Saturday.
Line was, Detroit, Henrik Zetterberg single-handedly took everybody out of these two games. And, it's great that Santarelli and Komarov and Clarkson were the best line in both games. That's good. They're a useful line. But, man, I was really disappointed. The Leafs' big players, quote-unquote big players, they pitch back-to-back no-shows.
Yep. When they score, they win, and they have.
Yeah.
And when they don't, they tend to lose. And everything else just kind of winds up in the ether, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing else they can – this sounds stupid to say, but there's nothing else they can do to help you to win. If they're not scoring goals, they're not going to do anything to help you win.
And they've had only the secondary scoring, really, in one of the six games.
Exactly.
And, Henrik Lundqvist would look like he was going to give up 10 that night. It's one of the worst games he's ever had. All right, Jeff Blair's got the Jeff Blair Show with Glenn Healy coming on at 9 o'clock. And then, of course, Hockey Central at noon at 12. We'll see everyone tomorrow morning at 5:30. Have a great day.